Psalm 51, the verse that goes along with the lesson that you'll see on the top of your page, we're on lesson 10, page 41, lesson 10, page 41, teaching transgressors God's ways, teaching transgressors God's ways. Memory verse that's going along with today's lesson is Psalm 51:13. Psalm 51:13. Who's ready with that one that could quote that for us or try to quote that for us to the best of your ability? Go ahead. No, you did. You're going good. Excellent. Very good. That's okay. Praise the Lord. Somebody else. Amy, your hand moved. I know you're adjusting your hair, but it's still it's like an auction. You don't move your hand at this time. You'll be buying something. Anybody else? Okay, with a different verse. The verse that we had assigned for the week was verse 16. Anybody ready with that verse? Hey, there he is. Kelly Dye. Verse 16. Excellent. Very good. For thou desirest not sacrifice else what I give it, thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Excellent. Good. Hope you're memorizing Psalm 51 by the time we get through all of our lessons. You will have had the opportunity to memorize all 19 verses. There are some people who have the chapter memorized. There's some who almost have the chapter memorized, a verse at a time. You know, when we got this series of lessons in, Pastor said, "Do you think you can memorize the whole chapter?" And I went, "Wow, I don't know, Pastor. We can try it if that's what you think." And it's been a blessing. These verses are great verses. You'll use them in your own life, and you'll use them to be a blessing to people around you. Any other memory verses that you might be working on? I know moms and different people have different memory verses, and you can't memorize 20 verses a week. I understand that. Maybe you're not able to do the Sunday school ones because you're working on a different verse. Anybody working on a different verse right now? I know you have ladies' class and other classes going on. Teaching transgressors God's ways. In Psalm 51, verse 12, the Bible says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David was restored and upheld. Joy was back in his life. He had found the secret again of hiding in the Lord. He was no longer running from God. He was now running to the very heart of God. The Lord had become his hiding place again. There was joy once again. He had a song in his heart again. This is how forgiven sinners can be teachers and teach others also the way of forgiveness. Following along in your lessons, teaching transgressors God's ways. In your Bible, Psalm 51, you'll keep your finger in Psalm 51 throughout the day because we'll come back to this. Psalm 51, verse 13. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." What's necessary before we can become that teacher? What's necessary? Anybody want to venture that? What's necessary before we can become the teacher to teach others that forgiveness? Say it again. That's right. Exactly. We have it ourselves. We've been saved. Many of us here have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We came to a point in our life where we realized that there's a thrice holy God that we had sinned against, and that he had sent his son to die on the cross. We trusted his son as our Savior, and we confessed and accepted Jesus Christ to be our Savior. So we've done that. Now we then can go and share with others our testimony. Our testimony. So what's necessary to become a teacher? Become saved ourselves. Become converted. Exactly. Thank you, Amy. In your lessons, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. All of us are sinners. Some saved by grace, and others who have not yet come to the Lord. Psalm 51 is the sinner's guide back to God. David, pardon me. As we're going through our lesson here, we're talking about in Psalm 51, this is David. David had in 2 Samuel 11, David had looked upon another man's wife as she was washing herself and decided he would have her. Are kings allowed to do that? Kings have a lot of rights. Are kings allowed to do that? No. The Bible tells us they can only have one wife. The Bible tells us that. So, but yet, well, I'm the king. I can do what I want. Yeah, you can get away with it, you may think. And so he had another man's wife. She was with child, and he thought, what am I going to do now? Now it's going to be before all man. Well, I'll have the husband killed, and then we'll make like, you know, it's been 9 months, and we got married. And he devises this great big plan to cover up his sin. And it fails. The son is then born and dies. Because God can't have someone that's raised up so high in front of every people's eyes. He can't have them live that way. Otherwise, other people might think that's the way they're supposed to live. The baby dies. And then as David doesn't repent, the price of that sin comes into his household. His one son, which is a half-brother to his daughter, lies with her against her wishes. One son then kills the other son. Do that to my sister. And then the general then kills his other son. Sin. It seems fine at the time, doesn't it? The price might be more than you want to pay. I'm sorry, the price is more than you want to pay. The price is more than we want to pay. David found that out. David's heart was broken. David's heart was broken. You know, when we think of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we might say, you know, I've always got that verse, and you know, I've been wanting to do this sin or whatever, and you think, but I can always pray. I have news for you. There's got to come a broken heart before you can pray that prayer. You can't sin and then say, oh Lord, forgive me that sin, and then do it again and say, oh Lord, forgive me that sin. There's got to come a broken heart, and God will bring that to you. God brought it to David. Here in Psalm 51, we see David kneeling before a thrice holy God. We see him pour out his heart to God. And the wonderful thing about God is no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, at the moment that we realize we are sinners or that we have sinned, and we look at it and we say, God, that's sin that I did. It was wrong. Then God can forgive us, can't he? He's there waiting with open arms. All we have to do is turn. That's all we have to do. In your lessons, this plan of David sounds so much like what the Lord Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, 31. We're looking at the plan that he's talking about here is Psalm 51:13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. In Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31-34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. This is the Lord Jesus here talking. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When thou art turned back again into the way, strengthen thy brethren. Peter, turning from the way. No, I don't know the man. I've never seen the man. Ma'am, you're mistaken. I don't know him. That coming from a man who loved God dearly. And the Lord said, but I prayed for you. And when you turn back again, then you teach others also. This is what Hebrews 51:13, that then you will teach others also. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. What a blessing. Who is this? I have prayed for you. This is the one that right now and for eternity is ever at the right hand of God, making what? Intercession for us. I have prayed for you, the Lord Jesus says. He's there right now with your name on his lips, my name on his lips, before the Father. The old accuser will come and he'll accuse. Yeah, Satan will accuse us. That guy's not perfect. Lord says, I know. I know he's not perfect. But he has a heart for me, and I've forgiven him, and he's repentant of his sin. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We go through things sometimes, and they're very hard. And we think, Lord, why in the world am I going through this? Why me, Lord? Maybe it's so you can be a blessing to someone else tomorrow. Does that seem like a good reason today? No, a lot of times it doesn't. Do we believe that the Lord knows more than what we know? Yes. The Lord exists in tomorrow. Tomorrow will be new for us. Once the daylight goes and the darkness goes, tomorrow will be new for us. It won't be new for God because God exists in eternity past and he exists in eternity present. As we study this portion of Psalm 51, we need to consider the following three questions. How can a sinner be forgiven? What does a forgiven sinner teach? By reading and did I miss one? I'm sorry. How can a sinner be forgiven? How can a forgiven sinner be a teacher? What does a forgiven sinner teach? What does he teach? By reading and studying Psalm 51, we'll find the answer to these questions and be greatly helped by this portion of Scripture. How can a sinner be forgiven? We must never make light of sin. When a person truly fears sin and the terrible devastation it brings, that individual has a right fear of God. When people laugh at sin, they don't have the right fear of God. Last week, Pastor mentioned a bumper sticker and some people laughed. Unfortunately, they laughed because their walk with the Lord is not right. Walk with the Lord was not right. We don't laugh at sin. We watch television shows, and the town drunk is always funny. I'm just not sure that the town drunk is funny. You take alcohol and you read this book from cover to cover and you tell me that alcohol's okay. I work with people that alcohol destroys their lives. They don't have a clue. The guy last night was going home to get drunk. What? Why would you do that? That's all they know to do. That's where their joy and their happiness comes from, they think. We can't laugh at sin. Sin is a terrible thing. What put Jesus Christ on the cross? Sin did. Sin is a terrible thing. When we hate sin like God hates sin, then we're walking and understanding as we should be. How does such a sinner like David ever find forgiveness? He receives forgiveness the same way that all sinners do. The same way that all sinners do and the same way that all sinners always have done. There's never been any other way of forgiveness of sins. And that is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. His death, burial, and resurrection. Christ died for one reason, and one reason only. The Father's will to complete salvation plan for mankind. Turn with me to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. We read that again in Romans chapter 4. Turn me to Romans chapter 4. Passages like this are important for us to know because we understand the truths of the forgiveness of our sin. Romans 4, 6 through 8. Romans 4, 6 through 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Righteousness without works. Salvation is by how many works? None. Righteousness imputed, put on our account from the Lord Jesus Christ without any good work of our own. Not paying money. Not doing good deeds. One time I went to a funeral of a supervisor I had some 30 years ago, 84, 85, probably 1986. And some people came out in some regalia, a little pillow in their hand, and talked about my supervisor's good deeds taking him to a higher plane. My supervisor had died of a heart attack, and as I went to the whatever they called it, I call it a funeral. They talked about his good deeds taking him to a higher plane, and I thought, how sad, because he knows right now your good deeds won't take you anywhere. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Take him nowhere. And yet the religion he was in says that his good deeds will take him to a higher place. There's no righteousness outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness only comes through the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his Spirit. Following along in your lesson, God's imputed righteousness must be preceded by repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Read that with me again, if you would, please. God's imputed righteousness must be preceded by repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had pastors stand up here visiting speakers, and they've talked about, in fact, in the past month, I think, or maybe it's up in the men's meeting, about evangelists coming in the area and going out soul winning with a guy, and they're knocking on the door, and the guy talks with them a bit, says, "No, I don't want to be saved. I want no part of that. I want you to go away." And the guy standing there said, "Well, could I just have a word of prayer before I go?" And he prayed a prayer. And in the middle of the prayer, he looked up to the guy and said, "Would you repeat after me?" And the guy repeated some words just to get the guy off his porch. And when the two walk away, the guy says to the evangelist, "He got saved." "Did he get saved?" "No." "Why?" "What was missing?" "There was no repentance. There was no repentance." Read that with me again. God's imputed righteousness must be preceded by repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. The Bible says that God will forgive our sin. But how can He do that? God forgives all sinners the same way every time. He forgives because the Lord Jesus Christ paid our sin debt in full. He satisfied the holiness of God as He bled and died for our sins. How can a forgiven sinner become a teacher? Is there a way that a sinner can be used of God again? Yes. In this world, we may still bear some of the scars of our sin. Is there any way to fly again as eagles? Is there any way to be used of God again? Yes, but only through the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin. When we've sinned and we go to the Lord and we repent of that sin, and we ask God for, we call it sin, first of all, and then we ask God for forgiveness. God forgives it. God puts it behind His back. It's gone from Him. It's not in His view. It's a done deal. But we might not forgive ourselves. Someone around us may not forgive us. They might bring it back up. Will God ever bring it back up? Certainly not. Others might. We need to forgive ourselves, and we must forgive others. We must forgive others. I've been in churches since I was young. I've been in churches over 40 years, 45 years. I've seen over the years, I've seen people get hung up and not be able to forgive someone else. And they die there. They turn from the way. And they go a different way. We got to have forgiveness. Christ forgave us. We ought to forgive others. Psalm 51, if your finger's still there, if not, turn with me. Psalm 51, verse 7. "Purge me the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Here, David, here, talking to the Lord after all the sin that he had done, and he's pouring his heart out to God for forgiveness. And David asked here to be clean. Can a sinner be clean again? Yes, he can. Verse 8 and 9, we see David's sin is gone. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." David's sins were gone. David then had a right spirit. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David then had the Holy Spirit power. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. As Christ left the earth, who'd he give us? He gave us another comforter, didn't he? One that would come alongside of us. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit. We're not alone as we're in this pilgrim way. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And then in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. This is David, the man after God's own heart. He'd walked with the Lord. He'd had sweet fellowship. It was gone at this point. And he wanted forgiveness. He wanted that fellowship back. Once that fellowship was restored, what could David do? He could go tell others. Let me tell you, you're going down a bad path. Let me tell you, you can be restored. Some people may say, I've done too many things wrong. I've done wrong things for too long. God's grace is bigger than that. God's grace is bigger than that. How can a forgiven sinner become a teacher? The Bible says in Psalm 51:13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David became a teacher because he had been made clean. He was no longer running from God. Instead, he was running to the very heart of God. Sometimes we run away from what can be our most help. We run away from what can be our most help. I've told the story before. We used to have a big dog, and our friends were over, and the dog started chasing one of the kids. And dogs love to chase. You run away from a dog, he'll chase you. He will. If he didn't have a mind to before, you run by, and he'll get a mind to, and he'll just love it. And little boy was running and running, and he was running all over the yard, and I couldn't catch him. And I said to the little boy, I said, run to me. Come on over, run to me, because I can stop the big dog from chasing you, but I can't until you run to me. Come over here. And the dog was just loving it. The boy just kept running, and the dog going, man, this is great, this is great. And this kid's turning and going everywhere. But we don't tend to go to the place we should go. It's hard. It's humbling. We're embarrassed. We're embarrassed to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've failed again. I've sinned again. We don't go the place we should go. Sinner becomes a teacher when he has gone that way before. Then he comes out and tells others. Again, he has a song in his heart. He's rejoicing in the Lord. God's Spirit upholds him. And there is evidence in his life that Christ has renewed something in him. He has something to say because he has been forgiven. We have a story to tell. You have a story to tell. You've been saved. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tell it to others. Tell it to others. Does it have to be a big, long theological dissertation? No, it doesn't. Just tell others that you were a sinner once, and that you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and he forgave your sins. That's all that we have to do to be a teacher, to teach others. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What does a forgiven sinner teach? Psalm 51:13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Here David is talking about what? The way God forgives. I teach transgressors thy ways. What ways? The way that God forgives. In other words, a forgiven transgressor teaches others who have transgressed how they can receive forgiveness of their sins. What lesson will we teach? We're going to teach them 1 John 1:9. We're going to teach them 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we're going to teach them. We're going to tell them about the goodness of a loving God. Why is that necessary? Because a thrice holy God can have no part of sin. Can have no part of it. So he made a way. God in eternity past planned a way for you and I and for other people to be saved, to be right with Him. Sinners can be forgiven because the Lord Jesus Christ paid our sin debt in full, complete. You and I, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are already seated in heaven. It's a done deal. None of this, well, I've sinned and I've lost it. You know, what if I die and I just sin? No, salvation is a done deal. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you are already seated in the heavenlies. It's all done. It's all done. Thank God for the gospel. What it did for us. Thank God for the restoration that we have. And look for the opportunities that we can show others how they can be restored. Forgiven sinners can become teachers because God restores us. Take Psalm 51 and show it to others. Let it be a blessing to them like it was to you. God's word will do that. Memory verse for next week is verse what? 17. Verse 17. If you're getting behind, get caught up. Thank you for coming. Don't forget the memory books. I think if you have a hard time memorizing, I think if you were to buy one of these books, you would find that you can memorize. I once met a lady that said, I can't remember names. I taught her a name that day in 3 minutes. And to this day, she knows that name. To this day. Why? She had told herself, I can't remember names. With just a few pointers, she can tell you that name to this day. You can memorize names. You can memorize God's word. And it'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to those around you. Thank you for coming.